On my email signature, I have a sentence and phrase that tells people this email has been written with the help of AI, because it may have been. But also, the second part of that phrase and sentence is, it's been checked by a human to make sure that I haven't got the name wrong or the company name wrong.
Hello and welcome to Land and Deliver. We are the podcast that helps you land that message and then deliver it with impact.
So the topic of today, we are talking to you about, can you trust AI? We're talking about simple transparency rules for you, dear business owner, director, founder, CEO, whatever title you choose to give yourself. How are you using AI in a transparent way?
And also in marketing, communications and creatives as well, you know, there can be some real consequences that if you don't say we've used AI in this, you can get into trouble and, you know, you can use trust and it can kind of do you more harm than good, although AI is really powerful, isn't it? So just kind of take us through how we're going to kind of address those problems and with a few solutions that we've got in mind.
So as you watch or listen to the episode today, there's a framework that we're going to talk about that's called trust. So we'll get to that, where we work out actually the kind of tick points, the checklist that you can give yourself in terms of how you want to use AI in a simple and transparent way. I think the other thing today is really just acknowledging that we are in a time, quite an exciting time, I think, where technology is evolving really quickly. For some of us, some people have started using AI very early on. Some are just slowly getting into it. And we really want to help, I suppose, hold your hand through the process as a business owner of how you're going to use AI in a transparent way that you feel comfortable with, but also gives you the results that you need.
Yes, because there is a lot of sometimes distrust about AI. And just being clear, you know, for example, you know, whenever I'm on a Zoom call or whatever, I'll always put my AI tool on that will record the conversation. And by saying, you know, I'm going to use this tool here, this is how I'm going to use it, this is what it is, and because they know me, they go, okay, it's fair enough. Whereas if I just recorded it quietly, they might go, hang on a minute, what are you doing with my data? So that's that's really important that we kind of put that framework around it.
It's true. And I think today it's talking about why it's important, why it's something we need to have on our radar, not just now, but I would say going forward, as these tools and pieces of software become more omnipresent in our day-to-day working lives, and how we can make sure we're not afraid of it, but we're in control of it as well.
Yeah.
So let's just start off by defining, what are we talking about then in terms of defining AI transparency? Shall I get into it?
Go on.
So I think for me, as someone who operates in the marketing and communications industry, what we're trying to do always with our clients and with our customers as well is to build trust. We want to make sure that we are being transparent about who we are and what we do, because what we're starting to find is when that doesn't happen, fear comes in, there's a lot of mistrust, misinformation and questioning. And I think the worst thing you want in any scenario, be it AI or not, is to have that thing of people saying, are you telling the truth? Because we found time and time again that when that's not the case, people are then stepping away, or they have an arched eyebrow, or they're thinking, oh, well, I don't know if I like this. And that then throws up a whole bunch of other questions. So the transparency is important because we're defining it in a way where we're being honest and open.
Yeah, yeah. And we're in a little bit of a wild west at the moment, aren't we, with AI, in that it's developing so fast. I say even more than social media. And we're already kind of reeling off the benefits, but also massive problems with social media. So we're always already kind of going, oh my goodness me. And AI is developing, and there seems to be no regulatory tools that they're keeping up fast enough. So quite rightly, you might go, actually, do you know what? I'm going to step away from this and just see how it develops. But then all of a sudden you find yourself going further and further behind. And we're saying that used correctly, and we'll kind of go to the trust model a little later on, it's fine. It's really fine. And you can mitigate it and, you know, protect yourself. And so use those wonderful advantages of using AI with, you know, some really careful steps, really, because it is everywhere, and, you know, it will do you, you know, your work an amazing amount of good.
It's true. I think we are living in a time where data and the use of that data and where it's used is vital, because that's how people are questioning. You know, back in the days of pen and paper, we didn't have to worry. I went to the doctor's recently, and at the start of the appointment, the doctor said, is it okay if I record this conversation and use it as AI note-taking? And it goes to show, even in the medical industry, you know, there's that permission to use it going forward to make sure that, as the doctor said, I want this to be a conversation between you and I, but I don't want to miss anything.
No.
And so, you know, why is this topical? We're not just yesterday we're talking about it in a business sense, but I'm seeing on my business bank account, it's asking me, can it use AI? I'm seeing in cars, I'm seeing in the doctor health industry that it's happening more and more. So it's really topical.
And if you think about it, actually, in the medical profession, you know, they've been trained, they've been almost being like an AI since the beginning of being medical, right?
Yeah.
In the medical profession, they've been using data anonymously for a long time to help other people. And I think because we don't know what AI is, and there have been instances of kind of leaking data, people are rightly concerned, but with the right advice, it's fine.
Mm.
And you know, then you can start to reap the benefits. It's just being aware, and perhaps if you're in a highly regulated industry where you need to keep your data really, really safe, then actually, you know, asking the experts, it's a good idea.
It's true. And I think this is the thing. We know it's topical, and for us, it's important to be talking about this, because we can't ignore this information. We can't ignore the tools and software, but we do acknowledge there is a trust gap. We're finding that in our dialogue and communications, with conversations we're having with people, where there is either a yes, love it, use it all the time, or to the oh no, don't like it, don't touch it, don't understand it. So there is that trust gap, that people are AI aware or AI weary. And that's why today it's really important to talk about this transparency and talk about the trust framework.
And I would say actually trust is also about you. So people may not trust AI, but they will trust you more.
Mm.
So if you're very transparent in how you're using the AI, then they'll go, okay, I'm not sure about AI, but that person that I know knows what they're doing, so I'm cool with it.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're not open and transparent with them, they'll go, what have we got to hide?
It's true.
So then that multiplies with not being particularly sure about AI.
It's true.
And then you've been a bit of a hole, aren't you?
So one thing we should say and point out at the moment, depending on when you listen or watch this episode, there's rules that are changing. As we've alluded to, things are evolving very quickly with AI in terms of regulation or policies or guidance. So we would always advise that if you're not sure, speak to the experts and check it out, right, Darren?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's really important, because we've recorded this in good faith and knowledge, but who knows what could be coming down the track in terms of future guidance and rules.
Does this count as small print, Lou?
Possibly, yes. This is our disclaimer. It should have like a little yellow
because mark, we can't afford to be seen.
Yeah, we don't want that. But also, we know that things change. Yeah. And the companies, the software companies, are doing their best to safeguard and give us the reassurance as we use these tools. But also we know that, the government is keeping an eye on things in terms of what should be regulated and guidance. So let's look at then, we talked about regulatory pressures and expectations. We're going to get into the trust framework in a minute. Who is this affecting at the moment? I've talked about it being used in the medical industry. I've talked about AI being used, cars and in business and how we create our documents. When you talk to people, Darren, who are the people that you interact with who are using it at the moment? Who's it affecting?
Well, I think for me, you know, when I'm creating content for people, what we're also doing more and more is then putting that on social media. And, you know, companies that are brand new to using video content or marketing content or social media graphics or whatever, you know, they're putting it out. And marketing is one of those really weird kind of environments where you don't quite know whether it's working or not. It kind of, I find it works through anecdotal conversations where someone goes, well, I've seen you. Where have I seen you? Don't remember. I've been talking every single day on LinkedIn for the last 6 months. So that's where you've seen me. And then, you know, it works. But when you're putting stuff out on social media, you need to find a way of working out how it works. So I had a conversation with a company that deals with environmental waste. And we've been doing social media marketing now for 3 months. And believe me, you know, as you know, this thing is a drip and it takes a long, long time. But, you know, spending money and they want answers. And actually, I use an app called Buffer, which saves you posting the same content to each individual social media stream. Do it once, it sends it out everywhere. But what it does do, it then collates all the raw data. So what I was able to do was to go, okay, I took all the raw spreadsheets, it's all numbers, haven't got a clue, and I have a special little segment for this company in my own little project in ChatGPT, uploaded all the data, and I said, look at all this data, and please give me an executive summary. That word is really useful, of, you know, how well it's done, who we're talking to, and what. And I had three types of communication style I was testing. So I told each individual communication style and tell me how it's working and which one's working the best. And I then told it about their customers and who their customers are and which one is attracting the customer best. So it's quite a long prompt. But what it's then able to do is to take the numbers. It gave me a story. It said, the marketing content you're doing really, really well is talking about this. They're liking this because of this, and I'm able to then go to the customer, there you go, that's why we're doing it this way and not particularly a way that you think it's being done. So you're able to take what is quite a lot of data and then tell a story. So my working process with that company, they know that I collect all their data using AI, and they know that I will prompt it and learn their company, how it works. So when I give them that report, they know which bit is my marketing expertise, because I'll be translating that. But I also are fully aware, because it's an ongoing conversation, and they actually embrace the fact that I record everything, because they will then just basically give me all the information, so they know that when I come to write for them or give them analytic results, they know that AI has been in that process and quite embrace it, because actually they just keep firing me information. and then that's there in its brain, because they then know what comes out is very much in their tone of voice, and that really helps them.
What it does give us is that understanding to say they've generated this image using AI. And when we talk about simple transparency rules, the simple thing is in a comms element as well for in-house teams is if you sign off content, you're accountable.
Yeah.
So you have a responsibility to indicate to people, this isn't exactly how it could look. Because in that example, if it is a leisure centre or housing development, when it's then built, if people do remember that artist impression that you gave, what you don't want is to have this kind of sticking point of, that's not what you delivered. There needs to be the transparency of, we created it based on an artist's impression, based on an AI prompt, based on some graphic technology that was used to help us get a visual representation. And then that helps to set expectation. I think that's what we're talking about today with simple transparency rules for business owners. We're setting an expectation of what we're creating, but what is influencing that creation as well.
I tell you who else is really embracing AI, and I think it's a great idea, and being very transparent about it, is estate agents. Because at the moment, at the time of recording, there are a lot of people selling properties as vacant possession and they're empty. And it's really hard when you look at properties online to know how big the rooms are, because sometimes they shoot with those massive wide angle cameras and you think it's massive and you walk in there, it's a box. But a lot of them nowadays are saying, you know, furnishing, you know, made with AI. You then go, okay, you look at the size of the furniture and you can really gauge how big or small the rooms are by looking at the chairs of the rooms. And that I think is a really good use of AI, and they'll often be transparent in putting that in there as well. And that's really interesting.
Coming up, we're going to talk about the trust framework to help you out to set your own simple transparency rule as a business owner. But I think what we're alluding to here so far is how you're using your data. And it's about some chosen words of privacy. It's around the control. It's setting expectations. And it's understanding that actually it's okay to use these tools and to be open about how you've used them, so that people know the influence, but also know that there's some human input into it as well.
So let's go then to the best practice rules that you've created called trust. And just to describe what the trust framework helps you to do.
When you are sat at your desk as a business owner, thinking, right, I need to create a website, for example, and you know that AI is going to help you write the data and write the text and help you to kind of simulate this website and how it's going to look. Brilliant. However, because you know that this is had influences from other sources, other data, you want to be very clear and open about how this website has come about. Now, yes, you're going to tweak it. There's going to be probably some stock imagery that looks nothing like you as part of this AI tool. So you're going to have to make some changes. But you're saying to people, it's an advert and a polite disclaimer, a courtesy message, if you like, to say, I have used technology to help me create this particular product or service or resource. And for me, I feel that helps you to say to your audience and user, you've had some help, but you're using technology to be cutting edge and to be dynamic, and that's perfectly fine. But you also admit and acknowledge the fact that with using that help, you've had to tweak it and amend it. And that's good as well. You've acknowledged that you haven't just copy and pasted it as you see it.
So take us through the trust framework.
So the trust framework, and please do go to landanddeliver.co.uk so you can get the show notes and recap on this in your own time. But the trust framework is really to help you tell people. That's the first thing. It's the honesty. I'm on my email signature, I have a sentence and phrase that tells people this email has been written with the help of AI, because it may have been. But also the second part of that phrase and sentences, it's been checked by a human to make sure that I haven't got the name wrong or the company name wrong.
We've all been victims of just bashing out an email to someone who's just on our nerves. And it's really good to use AI just to kind of check your language so it lands well with them.
Yes.
And that's just being professional.
Yes.
That's just being professional and checking your own tone of voice, because we all work increasingly in our home offices.
Yes.
And there's no one to go, excuse me, Marjorie.
Yeah.
Never worked with a Marjorie. But, you know, going next door, talking to Marge and going, does this look all right?
Yeah, does this sound right? Yeah.
Whereas now we use AI to do that.
And you're absolutely right, because this is the next part of the trust framework review. So we've told people and said, actually, I've used AI to help me create this. But the next thing you're doing is, once that piece has been created, you are reviewing it. You're fact checking that your resources and sources are correct. You are reviewing it to make sure it strikes the right tone and balance, with or without the help of Marjorie, up to you. That you are reviewing it to just double check, oh yeah, that does make sense. I used AI recently to help me write an email response. And it's a good thing I did review and check it, because it was referencing a date that was incorrect. So, you know, I'm talking about a date in the future and it was referencing a date from 2 months ago. Had I just sent it, it would have confused the chain of conversation that I was referencing a date in the past. Now, something in the AI prompt clearly got confused, and AI was talking about the future, but using April as a response, which, yeah, really needed to talk about July. So it just goes to show that the reviewing part is vital.
And also, it's also, you know, your prompting, isn't it? Because sometimes I've been talking about something and then I've then talked about something else, and it's got, just like a human being, if you don't go, oh, hang on a minute, I'm starting a new conversation now. I've had conversation with it and it's kind of gone, I'll tell you what it was. It was buying a house.
Yeah.
So I was going to buy a property and that fell through, and I'm buying a new property, and it started referencing data from the old property. And it was only a small thing about the ground rent, but I've gone, oh, hang on a minute, I've checked it through, and then I've gone, actually, are you sure you look at the right document? It's gone, I don't know. Checking that through is really, really important.
The review part, definitely. For accuracy, for tone of voice, if it's an email, even if it's down to things like, I don't know, colours, whatever the document and piece of work you're doing, the review part is vital.
And I'll tell you what also is really helpful with a review is language and tone of voice. I suppose some of us get hung up on language and tone of voice, whereas actually, you might need to use a particular tone of voice as standard practice. So, for example, at the moment, I'm buying a property and I'm talking to my solicitor, and my AI came up with this very, very formal solicitor speak. And I went, do we really need to do that? I said, this is a very formal tone of voice. And then the AI has come back and gone, no, solicitors prefer it like this because that's the way they work, blah, blah, blah. But when I talk to him, it's like two washerwomen talking over the washing line, you know, like
but in written form.
Old Les Dawson style, but in written form. for best practice, they like it like that.
Okay.
So that was a really interesting thing where I've checked it and reviewed it and it's gone, no, this is how it's done. So it's a bit of a learning curve.
And if you want to know more about tone of voice, you can go and check out episode 15.
Yes.
Because we actually have a tone of voice template and document that you can use that helps you to use AI to sound like you. And there's a framework and template there that you can download in episode 15 about that. So yeah, with the trust framework, you've got tell, you've got review. The next thing from this episode, really want you to think carefully about using data responsibly. And, you know, with AI, it's all about data, as we've been saying. So this you part of the framework of trust is thinking of how you're going to use your data responsibly. Is there something sensitive in there as part of this piece of work that you're creating? And if it is, how are you inputting that? Should you input it? And making sure that it's locked down safely if you are going to include it.
Yeah. Okay, next one.
Next one is set governance. Now, this is kind of maybe a bit wider than you as well. I think depending on your business setup, if it's you as a solopreneur, then this may fall on your shoulders. If you're working in more of a small to medium-sized business setup, when it talks about governance, this is about making sure that your business is operating in a way that is accountable. So making sure that your data protection rules are up to date, you've kept up to date with the ICO, which stands for Information Commissioner's Office, in terms of what their guidance is around AI, and just making sure the governance is there. Are you trained in terms of not training the AI bot, but also are you trained in terms of where your data is being stored for your business purposes? So yeah, the governance element is about approval. It's about who owns the data. You know, for example, Darren, you sometimes talk about making sure that when you use AI tools, are you using the business version or the personal home version? Because that could be a bit of a sticky point.
I think it's really, really important. I think there's, I remember when I had a proper job, actually had a salaried job, that, you know, we had, there were the ChatGPT was just coming along. And actually what they did was they made available to all employees free of charge. They had a paid secure version of ChatGPT, because what everyone was doing was asking ChatGPT questions. And for the most part, it was best practice. It was just for personal stuff. But, you know, they were thinking ahead. And if you're then asking ChatGPT work questions, then at that free level, that information comes quite leaky. Mm. And so they had a paid version so that everyone used that, and then that data is secure. So it's really important to make sure that, you know, if you're working with other people, or if you've got a free version of something, that, you know, it's not leaky. And as we always say, if you're not sure, you know, data breach and being prosecuted for data breach is a nightmare, legally and professionally, and, you know, for your credibility. So just chat to an expert.
I mean, just to pick up on your point about things being leaky, I understand it, and tell me if I'm right or wrong, but I understand it as in you're putting sensitive information in and it can be regurgitated and spat out and used in other places and spaces where you may not want it to be used. Am I right in that thinking?
You know, if you're going to use something for free, it wants something in return.
Of course, yes. Right?
So, but with AI, what it's doing is it's using your data in an largely speaking, in an anonymous way, to train itself all the time and learn in a general way about how we are.
It can leak it.
Yeah. But if you, for example, got a brand new idea, as I've just discussed with you today, I've said to myself, hang on a minute, that brand new idea is currently sitting on my ChatGPT. I need to get the next version up, because I know that's much more secure. Mm. So it costs me an extra 15 quid a month, but it saves my idea, because it's brand new and it's unique, going out and popping up in somebody else's, because it's not part of a massive, massive data set in that region.
Lovely. Good. Thank you for clearing that up, just to clarify. I thought that was the case, but it's worth saying.
It's quite difficult to explain because it's quite messy, but generally speaking,
but leaky, you know, it can get out and be used in other places and spaces. Yeah. Okay. And the final bit of trust is the training. So this is where we're looking at to make sure that we're keeping up to date. And because these software models want us to use them, ChatGPT, Microsoft Copilot, Google, Gemini, and Claude, and all the others, they often do give free training So you can register on their website. Now, there's going to be a bias to using that particular software tool because they're going to provide you with training to use it. But what it does is it allows you to keep up to date with the latest ideas, iterations, what's going on in the industry. And so you're staying current. So you know how to control, how to be accountable, how to regulate and govern what you're doing with your AI in a way that's going to be tangible, not with fear, but with informed decisions. And actually, I just signed up for a series with Microsoft on their AI tools. And they're free webinars that you can attend.
Yeah.
And what I'm doing is learning it in a Microsoft sense, but it's making me then question it when I use other tools as well. But it helps me to keep my knowledge current, helps me to understand, yes, with a bias, but that training is vital. And that's the trust framework. Ta-da! There you go. That easy.
But it is really, really important because AI is different. It's a different technology to ones and zeros. And I think if we'd have had AI first and then computer technology second, it would be a lot easier to understand. But because we're kind of thinking about getting our computers, we're thinking about step by step, it has to be very logical.
Yes.
Whereas AI isn't like that. It's about pattern matching.
It's true.
And I suppose really also, you know, with AI and being transparent, because AI might not always sound like you, right? And so we have to kind of put that there. So when someone kind of goes, well, I'm not sure, they go, okay, it's done by AI, we understand now. Mm. But there are environments, I would say, where you must be transparent. And perhaps there are other ones where you don't have to be, because there is bias, isn't there? And this is kind of where, because AI is such a fast developing medium right now, it's kind of a bit of a grey area. And I know we go with discussions about this. So I would always say, look, you know, if you're being creative, then because some people might go AI slop, and because you might have revised it loads and loads and loads and loads of times,
there's a judgment around it.
So you know, it's giving you version one, but I'm currently on a piece of work at the moment. I'm on version 15 or 16. You know, I've arranged it so much that I don't feel I need to say it's done with AI, because it's got me off the blank page and I've then developed it and, you know, made it there. But if you're in the regulatory environment, if you're in law or medicine or whatever, then that's a whole different ball game. You've got to be so, so careful, because it's highly regulated. Then putting that you've been helped by AI helps you just from a legal standpoint.
I think you're right. You allude to something that is a wider conversation around when you disclose and you're transparent about using AI, the perceptions of your industry.
Yeah.
Some will be happier and go, yeah, of course, I expected that. Others will say, no, don't like that. So I think, yes, the advice we're giving today, I think, is a blanket approach. But I think for your particular sector or industry, there will be some nuances in terms of how people perceive using AI. There might be a bit of snobbery around it. There could be a fear. There could also be that anxiety of, where's that data going? How is it being used? Where will it pop up again? As you explained with your leaky analogy or analogy about things being leaky. So, yeah, I think this is the thing. As you listen to this as a business owner, it's for you to strike that balance that feels comfortable to you, your brand, your business, and ultimately will protect your brand in terms of reputation.
Yeah, yeah. Good stuff.
So there we go. Trust, tell, review, use data responsibly, set governance and training. We have helped you out there. We've got through a lot there, Darren.
So really, I suppose, what would you say, Louise, are our key takeaways, three things to remember about transparency with AI?
It is understanding the intention of what you're doing and how you want to share that influence, depending on your sector and industry, what people expect. It's about being responsible and accountable for that in terms of how the data is being used. And really, I think it's about striking that tone and balance that feels good for you and your business and how you want to share that, be it as an email footer, as a kind of little caption with a picture maybe, or even for me, I have an AI transparency statement on my website that helps me. So when I'm talking to clients and we're talking about working together, it allows me to, rather than going into, you know, 0.5 point B or 7.E, you know, and a long list, I just send that as part of my client onboarding so they understand and know, and then we can discuss any questions. So yeah, what feels good for you, but also being aware of the wider industry.
There you go. So that's our our special on AI transparency is a whole sequence of five episodes on AI that we're doing for Land and Deliver. Don't forget, if you want to have a look at our tone of voice document, it's something that we've created that really helps you to fill it in. There's a lot in there because AI is great at disseminating a lot of information. But once you finally fill it all in, it's a once only job. You can upload it and then say, with my tone of voice document, write something on this. So we're finding it really helpful for us. But you can find that on episode 15 of our Land and Deliver podcast episode. And you can find that on our website, landanddeliver.co.uk. And that's where you can sign up for the show notes. So you'll get the show notes for this episode and also show notes and alerts for future episodes as well. So give that a try and do let us know how you get on with it, because we'd really like to get your feedback as well. So that's landanddeliver.co.uk. So that's all from us for this one, and we'll see you next time. Take care.
See you soon.